Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I represent the appellants in this case. This is a case in which the District Court granted summary judgment dismissing claims based upon a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Issues of which I'd like to address include the Terry stop, the consent issue, and the use of excessive force.
What does OC mean?
Only something or other. It's the same as pepper spray, I believe.
The same?
Yes, or similar to it, at least.
Toluol resin capsicum, if I understand it correctly.
Yes.
Why do you care about the Terry stop or the consent?
It was a precipitating reason why Mr. Garrett Henning was shot.
Yeah, but I don't understand what the significance is. It's well established that even a person who's wrongly arrested can't escape.
I agree.
So even if we assume that the arrest was wrongful, everything else is as it is. It doesn't look to me like there's any relief available to the Henning estate as a result of this, whether or not the arrest was proper.
Well, I believe the arrest was improper, and I think, among other things, it can impact to a certain extent on the credibility of the officers that were involved in making this arrest.
I'm not making a credibility judgment here. Are you arguing that there is a separate element of damages that would be available to the estate on a survival action in state law for a wrongful arrest or a wrongful consent?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Okay.
Does the court want me to even address the issues? I believe. No,
please proceed.
I mean, the consent, the Terry stop, by all admissions, exceeded the scope of the initial stop. He was stopped solely for the purpose of this parking lot incident, which was trivial in nature, which the officers had basically determined before they ever arrived at the stop and go store that they were not going to issue any charges. They were just going to tell them.
Why was it trivial in nature?
The incident itself was trivial. He was at an apartment complex with the permission of a buddy of his, and when he was leaving.
Yeah, but the lady doesn't know that.
Well, and there's
a complaint.
In the greater scheme of things, I reviewed as trivial because she came out and she said, "What are you doing here? You should leave," and he left. There was nothing more to the incident than that. And that's in that context is what I mean when I refer to it as being trivial. There wasn't any threat. There wasn't any tampering with vehicles. There was no showing of a gun. There was nothing of that nature. There was just some words that went back and forth.
Householders worried under the circumstances. Wearing a ski mask in October at night gives every indication that this man is a burglar.
If, in fact, he was wearing the ski mask. If, in fact, he was wearing a ski mask. I think that's an issue that is not necessarily a fact in this case, but it is alleged as a statement within a hearsay statement within a hearsay statement, actually, the officer's statement that the husband said that the wife said. Yeah. And so we don't really know for sure.
We don't know if it's true or not. But
yes.
That's you got to look at what the police knew or thought the situation was. And I just wondered why
sure.
You branded that as trivial.
Maybe it was a poor choice of words, but I think it was simply in the context of certainly what happened later on. When he was stopped at the stop-and-go store and asked what happened, he was cooperative. He admitted what had occurred. When the other two officers came to the stop-and-go store, he admitted that he had been there. The words were exchanged. And during that process, when they saw a bat in his vehicle, and they saw the ski mask, they told him to get out. There was an issue of officer safety. It's understandable. He gets out. He's patted down. He cooperates. He has no weapons. At that point, there's no reason anymore to detain Mr. Henning. But instead of letting him go, he's put in the back of the squad car from which he can't escape unless, as Defendant Blazer says, he breaks the window and leaves that way. And then the consent issue arises. Everyone admits, and I think the record is clear, there was no reason to search the truck. That it had absolutely nothing to do with the sole reason why they stopped him.
Since time is short and you've already conceded that the consent is not material, perhaps you would get to the
excessive force. Excessive force is the...
Now, this fellow Dvorak, so he's your only witness, really. Now, was he deposed?
No.
Why not?
I can't tell you why not. Part of it may have been discovery constraints.
How did he get anywhere without deposing him? I don't understand.
Yes. Well, Dvorak is important in the sense that...
He's all you have.
Well, he heard Mr. Henning
saying... He's all you have. Yes. So I don't understand why it hasn't been deposed.
We have other things because the summary judgment, as you look at the facts in the light most favorable to the plaintiff... Defendant Peterson says in his deposition that
Mr. Henning is not around to testify, so you've got the policeman. It's hard to make a case when you don't have a witness or when you don't have any evidence, right? So I would think Dvorak was absolutely key for you.
He was
so
important.
I don't understand why he's not deposed.
I can't remember if it was a location of him or whatever, but I know he wasn't deposed. He only gave an affidavit.
I don't understand the location of him. What does that mean?
It's a matter of finding
him. Depose a person anywhere, even overseas, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
So what's the problem?
I can't explain to the court why he wasn't deposed. But I also think what is important is the testimony of Defendant Peterson. When the gun came loose out of his holster and it was underneath the body of Mr. Henning, while there was still a struggle, Peterson eventually gets his hand on the weapon. And it was lying not in anyone's hand initially when he saw it. He then has his hand on the weapon pretty much from that point on. O'Leary had been kneeling, attempting to pepper spray him, missed the first time and pepper sprayed him the second time, but Peterson says the gun was pointed at O'Leary's knee, but it was on the pavement. He then directed the gun away from O'Leary's knee, pointing it in an area that he thought was safe and was never again pointed at anyone, according to
Peterson. So this whole thing takes 10, 20 seconds or something.
Probably.
And to try to compartmentalize everything that happened here.
The
important thing is that the gun is loose.
Yes.
And apparently Dvorak said he heard a policeman say, drop the gun.
That is another part of his statement, is he heard someone say, drop the gun.
Yeah. And now, and within this very, very short period of time, you know, the tragic shooting, but to say on the basis of this record that that's enough to get to a jury on excessive force.
Well, I believe it's enough to get to the jury because it was never pointed at O'Leary. O'Leary says that he shot him because the gun was pointed at his face. According to Peterson, it was never pointed at his face. It was always on the ground, and it was pointed towards...
Dvorak, you couldn't use his affidavit in the trial, could you?
No. And since the gun was never pointed at O'Leary's face...
I don't really see this trial. I don't understand how the trial goes. The only witnesses are going to be the three police officers, right?
No. Certainly every effort would be made to bring in Dvorak, Richard Buell, if that's a particular issue in the case.
Just on the excessive force, also
the police department, because surprisingly there's no evidence, despite the allegation that this gun was in the hands of Mr. Henning, that there are any fingerprints. I think one of the first things they would have done. Or any evidence other than the officer's statement that, you know, according to Blazer,
so
was
strange.
In his hand.
Forgetting Dvorak, it doesn't seem like he's very likely to show up if you weren't able to depose him. You're not going to have any witnesses except the police. What are you going to do with? I mean, they're not going to be completely consistent. No, nobody remembers something like this identically to everybody else. I don't know what could the jury make out of that.
Well, I think the jury will look at the testimony of the officers, and especially O'Leary, because he claims that it was pointed at his face. But what does he do in those situations? He has time to make an observation over by the store because there's somebody standing there. He has time to consider whether or not how he wants to shoot him so that the bullet goes through, it doesn't hit anyone else. It seems to me that if somebody's pointing the gun at you, you don't think those things. You shoot before they shoot. And I think a reasonable jury could say that I believe the gun was never pointed at his face. There wasn't this immediate threat of harm that you would need in order to use deadly force in a situation like this. It's not an easy case, admittedly, if we were to go to trial. But I think there is some evidence there from which a jury could say, we don't believe a number of things these officers say. There's an issue on their credibility, and that this was not justified. It was excessive force.
What was the level of the autopsy disclosed presence of cocaine and marijuana?
There was never any definitive evidence.
Was there a lot of it, or what?
I don't believe so, but there was a report, but it was never quantified in any respect by anyone as to whether there was any significant amount of any of that in the system. And I don't know that that would be particularly relevant to the actions of Defendant O'Leary anyway.
Well, got a struggle.
Yeah, and you had three officers
on the ground, and Dvorak, I can understand why you don't want Dvorak, because if Dvorak hears a cop say, drop the gun, that doesn't really help you.
Yeah, but then he says, please don't shoot me, which is not consistent with someone who may be pointing a gun at the officer. So it's a double-edged sword to a certain extent, I believe. But I believe that there's maybe not a huge quantum of facts here or material facts, but I believe there is sufficient that the court should not have granted summary judgment.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCann. Mr. Peek.
Your Honor, unless the court has questions of me, I'll try to be very brief. This is a classic Graham versus.
Well, what kind of gun? Was dropped?
The officers' guns were .40 caliber Smith & Wesson semi-automatic pistols.
Well, doesn't it have a safety catch?
No.
It doesn't have a safety catch. Odd, but.
This is a fight, and once Officer Peterson realizes that his gun is missing and discovers that there's a hand on it, it becomes a fight for life. As Judge Evans indicated, I mean, this is not something that is choreographed or scripted like in a movie. This is something that's dynamic. It's changing second to second. The fact that the gun may be pointed in one direction in 1 second doesn't mean a fraction of a second later, it could be turned and fired into one of the officers. This is one of those cases
What is odd, though, why didn't they just... I don't understand this, hitting him with this... Is this a standard police baton, you know, weighted at the... that they were whacking him with?
It's a standard expandable baton.
Weighted at, you know...
Yeah, they're not...
Old-fashioned...
No, it's expandable baton, sort of has a small head on it. It's not really weighted. It's
not an old-fashioned policeman's club.
Correct.
But even so, why didn't they hit him on the head?
Well, that's deadly force. And they're
well, if just... he hit on the head and shot through at point-blank range through the chest. I don't understand that.
Well, that may be your personal preference, but that's not what officers are trained to do.
Well, please. I mean, really. That's ridiculous. They're trained to shoot rather than hit someone over the head?
And
shoot them at point blank through the chest rather than hit them over the head with a club?
Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
It's our view that under these circumstances, because of the choices that were made by Mr. Henning...
No, I understand your argument. I just didn't understand your strange suggestion that they were inhibited about hitting him on the head because that would be deadly force.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.